Hello, and welcome to OK C-SPAN, the only podcast called OK C-SPAN. Hubbub, hubbub, busy newsroom, murmurs, typewriter noises. Welcome, everyone. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to OK C-SPAN, a podcast about Twitter and Twitter about local politics. Welcome. Nate Ward is with me today.
Hello.
He's with me always in my heart.
much like Christ.
Much like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I sound a little defeated, I'll tell you why. Just a little how the sausage gets made, a little behind the scenes stuff. We just recorded for about 45 minutes and then discovered that Nate's microphone had not been, like, his channel was not recording.
It was very bizarre. We could hear me the whole time. It seemed as if though we were recording.
Yep.
We were not. So here we go.
Yeah, so we're starting all over.
You know, it's sort of not unlike, honestly, doing an entire item and then it not being properly entered into the minutes and then having to redo that entire item.
That's true. It's a lot like that. So it was a busy week. We really got a little bit of a hike ahead of us. So let me just go ahead and dive in.
Sweet.
I really do appreciate everybody listening. And if you followed me on Twitter this past week, you probably know that there were a lot of meetings. A lot of stuff happened. Monday afternoon should have been a meeting of the Oklahoma County Criminal Justice Authority, but there wasn't one. They canceled it for some reason. The jail trust is what that is. Thank you. Yeah, they canceled their regular meeting, and I think that they did so that they can just kind of acknowledge that they're not doing anything at all right now. And so, like, the deadline for applicants for the jail administrator is the 10th of October. And I don't know if we'll see them meet before then.
You know what that isn't?
What?
It's not trustworthy.
That's not trustworthy.
See, I already made that joke, so he knew it was coming, but
I should have. I didn't.
That's even better.
Yeah. You can't trust the trustees. Who trusts the trusters?
Who does trust the trustees?
You ever think about
the
that?
Trusters?
They've abused it. I placed my trust in them, my faith and my trust. I pray to them.
You may trust the trustees, but it don't mean shit if I don't trust the truster.
That's exactly right. That's a good, you know what? That's a good word, Nate. I appreciate that. That's some good perspective. If I were to talk to concerned taxpayer Jim Couch tomorrow, you know what I would say? Listen, buddy, why didn't you guys meet? Is it because you don't know how to pursue the public trust?
You're just not sure if this meeting would be a good use of tax dollars?
They don't get paid for it, so I don't know what he thinks tax dollars are going for. But yeah, anyway, they didn't meet Monday. But Tuesday, who did meet was the city council of the city of Oklahoma City. They met Tuesday, and it was a marathon. It was long. It was 5 hours or more. That stupid meeting.
That is not brief.
No, it was not short. In fact, it was long. It was.
That's like a half marathon to respect a troop right there. That's what that is.
That's right. It was.
Actually, 5 hours for 13 miles is pretty pathetic. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, that's pretty not great. That's probably what I would do.
Me too.
I think I'd walk it in less time than that.
Yeah, I really don't know.
So a big part of what happened at City Council this week was that certain business improvement districts were had their renewal or their next to last step of renewal. That would be downtown OKC and Stockyard City. Those business improvement districts, BIDs, we call them. You recognize other BIDs. These are most of our districts are neighborhoods that have like arts and entertainment kind of stuff like the Plaza, the Paseo. We were talking earlier, maybe Adventure District is one. I'm not really sure.
Midtown.
But downtown OKC and Stockyard City were renewing. When a bid is created, it's a 13-step process. That's 13 separate meetings of city council that that has to go through.
Holy hell.
And yeah, so that's several months of work. And we recognize getting into the final stage for one new bid, which is Uptown 23rd. So congratulations.
Congratulations.
To all of y'all up at Uptown 23rd. You've known Uptown 23rd for a long time, but they are just now becoming a business improvement district officially.
Tower Theater, Big Truck Tacos, Island Yoga, all of them.
All of them. Pizza 23, The Drake. Yeah, that's a really, that's an exciting thing. It just makes things more manageable. People pay in, businesses pay in based on property value assessments and some other factors, but companies, businesses pay in and they receive extra services based on that, as well as just support and design review support, city service support, things like that.
Street sweeping, street cleaning,
stuff like that. So that's a big deal. That's really great. And the executive director at Uptown 23rd is just a lovely person, so I'm very excited for her. And her husband is also a lovely person, and he's one of the Tower Theater people, and he's really great. So, hey, Chad. Hi, Chad.
Hi,
everybody. So that happened, and what really significant thing happened at that meeting was that two billboards got into an argument, and I thought they would fist fight.
Two billboards walk into a bar.
Oh, my God.
What do they say to each other?
Let me tell you what a stupid thing happened. So there's some company that wants to build they want to rezone a spot on the north side of I-44, just west of Pennsylvania. And so that's just north of like 39th Street District. Is that a bid? I don't know, but it should be. So more on that later. I mean, in the future, not later today. But so they want to put a billboard up. It's an LED billboard, and they have to rezone to do that. The main opposition comes from Lamar. Lamar, who has a billboard straight across the interstate from there, and also other billboards up and down. It's okay. So I don't like billboards. I don't want any new billboards. Nothing. I don't care nothing about billboards. We've got too many of them. But also, where does Lamar get up? Is that literally, is that competitive to be like, why is another billboard get to be across the street? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you care? Like, it's different people that are going to see it. You think they're going to look, they're going to lay eyes on the other billboard instead of yours, I guess. I don't know. It was.
I'm not looking at that billboard. I just looked at this billboard.
Exactly. And the two representatives, I believe, were both attorneys. I could be wrong about that. It doesn't matter. What they were argumentative kind of jerks, especially the guy representing Lamar. He just walked in. He's like, when he got to speak, he said, I just want to know if you guys are going to follow your own rules.
Man, like, it would have been so funny if your tweet about them being adversarial ended up on the Lamar Twitter billboard.
I tweeted at them and asked them to retweet it, and they liked it, but they didn't retweet it. But I really wanted them to. Oh, my gosh. It was just so stupid. The guy was started at such a fevered pitch of anger and animosity, and I wanted to tell him, my main man, I don't know how they do things in the Norman City Council, but around here we expect a modicum of decorum. He used to be on the city council. Maybe he still is on the city council in Norman.
You gotta follow your own rules?
Yeah, it's exactly how he started. And he kind of yelled throughout his comments. And then the other guy got up and said some more stuff. And then he got back up and said some more stuff. And then the other guy. And then there was some discussion where this is in James Cooper's ward. And, of course, this was his opportunity this week to read from Sam Anderson's book Boomtown, which he basically does every week now. It's really
it's just a book club inside of a public meeting.
It's kind of irritating, honestly. Like, it's just, okay, we get it. Sam's book is great.
You're well read. Okay, James, thank you.
You're teaching this book. He also read from Fahrenheit 451, which was kind of dope. I was like, how about some Philip K. Dick? Like, he hated ads. Like, this is the dystopian future that he predicted, is this right here where we're arguing about billboards. But something I learned in that is that by state law, once a sign like that is established, it's not amortized. It's basically permanent.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. And so and they're eyesores. Billboards are eyesores. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants them except for the companies who build them. So the billboards fought, and that was stupid. Just what a stupid waste of my life, those guys arguing. They ended up saying that they needed to discuss, so they didn't vote to move it forward. They voted to wait on this rezoning so they could do more research. The council did. Something important that passed this week was the final step of the three-meeting process to pass a one-cent sales tax memorandum for vote from the public for maps.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, so that one-cent sales tax officially is going to be on the ballot in December. That final step took place this week.
What a historic achievement.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, David Holt. You done did it. You got a tax. You got a regressive sales tax on the ballot. Congratulations.
Probably come drop a mic here now.
You want to throw a mic down? It's not just the mayor. It's the mayor and the city council, one member of which is my spouse. The whole thing's, I talked about this last week. The whole thing's cowardly to me.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to vote yes on this because I know how our city works and I know how our society works. And to get that money to address homelessness, which isn't enough, and it isn't the original amount asked for, to get mental health services that we badly need, to get the diversion hub, which I hugely believe in, to fund Palomar, which is an excellent organization, to do all of those things, to get our pedestrian and cycling infrastructure built, we have to just like, okay, you get that, but we get our stadiums.
Well, I feel like this leads into a bigger conversation that isn't being had that really needs to be had. And that is that, to me, it seems like the promise with maps has always been building up a city that can then be a better city. Mm-hmm. And so it's about like maps one, they're saying, oh, okay, we need an arena and we need a river walk in Bricktown. And if we do that, then we've got a nice city and then we'll have money and we can, you know, make this a great place to live. And then Maps 2 rolls around and we do more public projects, but we don't do the things, the social projects that need to happen in the city. So Maps 3 happens and we build a park and we build a bridge and we build, you know, all more public projects, a streetcar that nobody wanted. But all of that to say, we keep building all of these things and this stuff that is literally just material that is not, it doesn't have a direct impact on someone experiencing homelessness.
Right.
You know, someone experiencing homelessness, Scissortail Park isn't for them.
No.
There's not a place, there's not a building there, a structure where they can go sleep that night. It's not going to have an impact on their life in the same way that, you know, a big project for them would. And so I am frustrated that we continue to pass these things with a promise of future care for people that need care in this city, instead of saying, you know, we, the Thunder, are going to take our vote off the table. We do not want money for our stadium because we can afford to pay for it. Instead, we'd like for you to take care of this city.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice to have good neighbors? I talk a lot about what a bullshit concept corporate citizenship is. It's nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. No corporation cares about you outside of what money you might generate for them.
Well, I think it was you that told me about an hour ago, when we did this episode the first time, and I said that rant a little bit more eloquently, that Lincoln warned us against this.
Mm-hmm. Went to his grave saying, don't give citizenship to corporations.
That was you, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's been a minute, but
I talk about that often, But it wasn't somebody else on this podcast. This is just the two of us. Nate Ward, ladies and gentlemen, welcome him to the show.
Welcome. Can I just say welcome?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. So, yeah, maps passed. finally for the last vote from the council. So that will be on the ballot in December, and I might vote yes, but I could be convinced to vote no because I hate being held hostage. And this is the same thing we do with the gross production tax in this state. We can't raise it. They'll leave us. A, they're not going to leave. Maybe the thunder would leave. I don't know. But like with gross production tax, those oil companies are never going to leave. We could spike that thing to 15, 20%. They're not going to leave because this is where the oil is. They're going to go where the oil is. That's it. So raise that fucking tax as high as you possibly can. And if they won't pay it, then let's start producing our own oil, and that belongs to the state. How about that? That's also the other option.
Also, Devon Energy owns a 53-story tower in downtown OKC, and if they leave, who's going to buy that tower
from
them?
No, but the Thunder?
They're not leaving because they've anchored themselves down with this building that's bigger than any other building in the city. It's a huge asset, and it's also a huge liability to them if they leave because they will not be able to sell that building.
And likewise with, you know what, we say it a lot that we don't negotiate with terrorists. Well, prove it. Prove it.
Oh, yeah.
If they're saying, I'm going to leave you if you don't do this, that's an abusive relationship. And so if Clay Bennett is saying, I'll have to move the Thunder back to Seattle or I'll have to move the Thunder to wherever, let's call his bluff. Let's call his bluff. What? And you're terrible. You're not welcome back in Oklahoma. You know, if that's who you are, then go fuck yourself.
And on behalf of, you know, the greedy energy companies too, for just a moment, if we were saying we're going to make the gross production tax 50% or something wild, I could understand where they're like, well, that is much higher than the national average. And we just can't afford to compete here, but 3%.
Yeah.
That's nothing. That's essentially 0%.
Yes.
It's very, very similar to 0%.
I'm outraged by it. I'm outraged by kowtowing to rich people in general. So, but we get to do it again come December. If you want anything good, you know, I think the state fair probably has money for building the arena themselves. It's already ours. I think that we already have that money in those coffers. But no, let's charge a cent on every sale from now until 10 years from now to build them a new arena. It's stupid. Really irritated by that. I'm in a bad mood because of maps and because of the city council and because of the mayor.
It makes me want to never look at a map again.
I don't care where I'm going. I'm not going to look at a map. Oh, and this ties in so well. It's like a natural segue talking about maps. Guess who we get to give $3 million to?
Mm. Well, let's see. It would have to be someone that can't stay afloat. So it couldn't
be. That's a good idea.
It could not be a house full of boats.
Oh, that wouldn't be it. Wild that you would say that, Nate, because it's actually the boathouse district that we got to give a bunch of money to.
The only thing lighter than water, $3 million.
How long would it take for $3 million to sink in the river?
We're about to find out.
Certainly. It's just going to take a couple of years, I reckon. We already sank $7 million.
So
they're not able to operate at a profit. And here's the thing. They shouldn't. We should shut it down, and we should sell every parcel of that to private companies because it's already
– kick it all in the river.
We should push it off into the river and dam that river. Dam it all to hell.
Damn it all to hell. Episode title right there.
We get to bail them out again. Bail out the boathouse. Love it. Love it.
Boathouse bailout.
One thing that we talked about was the Sosa neighborhood, named for Oklahoma City's favorite son, Slammin' Sammy Sosa. That's the neighborhood that's north of Northwest 5th and goes all the way up to St. Anthony's.
I'm pretty sure, didn't Steve Lackamire do a piece on this
recently? Yeah, no, it was really important to Steve to really cover the neighborhood that's named after our most famous Oklahoma baseball player, Sammy Sosa. He was born at St. Anthony's, and he grew up in the neighborhood just south of St. Anthony's.
Right, right.
And so we want to welcome
– North of the 5th.
Yeah, north of the 5th. And so I just want to welcome to the show Sammy. Sammy Sosa, Slammin' Sammy. Sammy, thank you for joining us today. Marty, it is my pleasure to be here today. I love your show. I love Oklahoma City. I come back as often as I can to visit my grandparents. Y mi padre y madre still live here. All my family still live here in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City been very good to me, and I appreciate you having me on your show today.
And Sammy, I just wanted to ask you really quick while you're on the show, how do you feel about the entire neighborhood where you grew up being named after you? How does that make you feel?
Oh, what an honor it is to me to have this neighborhood where I grew up, Soto St. Anthony's, San Antonio, as I like to call it. to have the whole neighborhood where I grew up named after me now by you, Nate, you, Marty, mi amigo Martin, the entire city of Oklahoma City, my home city, is beautiful to me. It's such an honor. And so I'm going to go to the local playground and Jack Homer's for the entertainment of the children. I got to go right now. So I will see you both again soon. Thank you. Adios. Sammy, thank you so much for coming. That was really great, Sammy. We'll see you. He's gone. He's already out the door. Thank you so much, Sammy. That was dope for you to... Oh, there he goes, walking away. What was that? A door closing, I guess.
I guess so.
Nate's door goes... that's stupid. That whole thing was dumb.
What's especially fun for you, listener, is we already had Sammy on once, so getting him back to re-record this...
Really hard to talk him into coming back in here, but he was willing. Because you know what? He's dedicated to Oklahoma City. He's dedicated to the people of Oklahoma City. He's dedicated to local politics in Oklahoma City. He is a sponsor on the show, and we don't have very many of those. So after the city council meeting, I went to a meeting I've never been to before, and that was the Judiciary Committee meeting. Now, that committee is made up of four city councilors, Ward 5, 6, 7, and 8 city councilors, David Greenwell.
Greenwell,
Joe Beth Hammond, Nikki Nice, and Mark Stonecipher. To my great pleasure, Greenwell did not attend. I don't like him, so I'm happy to not be in a room with him. I just think that it's inappropriate for the husband of a sitting city councilor to make fun of me on a radio show. She should be recalled. I don't know. It's nothing personal, of course. I just don't like women talking and having opinions. I'm an accountant and I didn't even intend to run, but somebody put me up to it. I was going to not run again and somebody convinced me that I should. And so let's tear down the jail. Let's tear down that Christian church. Not the Christian church, just that one that's shaped like an egg with all the nipples all over it. Let's tear it down.
That provocative church.
That provocative church. I live south of 240 Interstate. And we have thousands of cars that go down South May every day. We could use some traffic help. But no, that just goes to 2, 6, and 7. Well, how am I going to convince my neighbors to vote for this MAPS project? Welcome to OKC Spin. It's a podcast about imitations that I do.
of only local people, though. We've got Greenwell and Sammy Sosa.
let me see if I can imitate. Who else can I imitate? The mayor.
David Holt.
Oh, hey, it's me, David Holt. I'm the coolest mayor.
Better drop this microphone.
Throw this microphone down. 1-0-K-C. 1-0-K-C. Throw my microphone.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so thanks for joining us today on... Oh, wait. No, we've got more. So I went to the Judiciary Committee meeting because they were going to be talking about focused court proceedings for people experiencing homelessness. And this is just for the city. This isn't district court for the county. This is the city. So what that means is that we are pursuing starting a new docket that would actually be held at the Homeless Alliance at the Day Center, which is really great because
awesome.
A huge barrier to, okay, so let me get down in the weeds just a little bit. People experiencing extreme poverty, like the kind of poverty that you and I, people who listen to podcasts, haven't really experienced. I mean, I grew up pretty poor, and I've been pretty poor in my adult life, but I've always had some luxuries my whole life. Even at my most poor, when I was experiencing homelessness, I still had luxuries, you know. We have a hard time picturing somebody whose monthly income is zero, like somebody with literally without any income.
And so, any assets also.
Any assets at all, right? And because, so,
correct me if I'm wrong, but when you were experiencing homelessness, it was out of your car, correct?
I had a car, yeah, yeah.
Which a lot of people experiencing homelessness
don't even have that. Yeah, that luxury of sleeping in a car or in a warehouse where I was sleeping, yeah. I was running a business at the time, you know, so I had access to food. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a shower, but I had access to a bathroom. I had access to potable water pretty easily. Again, no shower, so I would occasionally go to other people's homes and shower, do laundry or whatever. I mean, it's a lot of luxury for somebody experiencing homelessness. So it is really easy when you're that poor to just be arrested for crimes that are crimes of being poor. The best example I give is that one of the first people that I got to work on a housing plan with was a dude named Raymond, who a huge barrier to getting him housed was that he had warrants from the city for trespassing tickets. Well, the reason he got tickets for trespassing is because he would sleep in a parking garage. Well, I mean, just the outrage that I feel when I talk about that, like the idea that he slept in still an open air, you know, area, right? Like, it's not like it's closed in a parking garage. He was still sleeping effectively outside, but he was sleeping in a corner where he had walls next to him, so he was sheltered from a lot of the elements. And he would get tickets for trespassing for doing that. And he had warrants because he couldn't pay those tickets, and he couldn't pay those tickets because he didn't have any money. Well, the city has moved away from that. County doesn't care. County will still put you in jail for owing them money, but the city won't put you in jail for owing them money. This idea is to have a court docket that is for people who are experiencing homelessness or extreme poverty. And it removes some of the barriers to going to court to address that by having it at the Homeless Alliance, a place where you're probably already going, a place where your personal hygiene isn't going to be embarrassing or out of character for the environment, you know. Solving the mistrust of the court system won't ever happen, but this will minimize some of that fear and that mistrust that people would have.
And practically, too, does it just make it easier on advocates also, I would assume, to be there with
absolutely.
People?
Absolutely. Like, we want people who are already starting to engage with services. But the idea is to leverage this system, because this will come with the amelioration of fines and fees. Like, if you go through this process, your fines will be waived by the municipal judge. Your fees will be waived by the municipal judge. You won't owe money, and you won't go to jail for owing money.
Imagine that.
Also, they'll take away the fines. But the idea is to get people to engage with services, mental health services, housing plan services, like all of these things that we really want people to have that we think they need. Now, it's a little paternalistic, but most helping professions kind of are. It's a kind of a necessary evil that I wouldn't require anybody to get services in order to get this assistance, but it sure is a good tool to use to get somebody to engage in, like, to get their shot, you know, if they're like to get their in Vegas shot once a month, if they're experiencing schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, you know, this is a great way to get them to go ahead and engage with that service that they need, whether they're really accepting the need for it or not. So the Judiciary Committee, the four counselors, well, there were three there, voted to move it ahead. They talked to Court Administrator LaShawn Thompson, a couple of city judges, and the question will be who's going to provide free, if not very cheap, but preferably free defense service for the people engaged in this program. And so Councilman Stonecipher is going to be working on that, and he's going to talk to the Young Lawyers Division of the Bar Association. He's going to talk to the Black Lawyers Association. He's going to talk to Legal Aid, who has a roster of attorneys who will do pro bono work. So he's going to talk to them about it. I don't think we'll have anybody representing themselves pro se, just because, especially for a focus proceeding like that, it's representing yourself is a tricky business as it is. So having somebody who needs these services representing themselves is, you know, kind of dodgy. At this point, I think it would be great to take a short break. You know, we don't do sponsorships on this show, and there's some reason for that is that I don't want to be beholden to somebody who I don't like. That's it, right? But I would accept sponsorship. If you have a small business and you're civically engaged, I would entertain the idea, because I want good businesses to succeed, and I don't mind advertising good businesses. But what I'm not going to do is take money from your, I don't know, your church. I'm not going to advertise a church on here. I'm not going to advertise some big corporation like Devon or something on here. I'm interested in pursuing sponsorship in some ways, but I'm going to do it right by me. And until then, the only way to sponsor me right now is for you to go to okc-span.com, and that will redirect you to my Patreon. While we don't have sponsors, we are going to introduce a segment coming up next that is anti-sponsorship, where I'm going to tell you a business that I won't give my money. And so please stick with us and be back. Thank you. Typewriter noises. Welcome to Anti-Sponsorship on OKC Span. Listen, I'm not opposed to sponsorship, but I am opposed to bad business. I'm opposed to corruption. I'm opposed to bullshit from companies.
Oh, yeah.
And I said before that anti-sponsorships were going to be about companies, and I'm going to talk about one. You might think it's a public park, but Scissortail Park is a company. It's a publicly owned, privately operated, if that makes sense. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make much sense to me. The Myriad works the same way, and in fact, it's the same people who run it.
They have a lease for 99 years.
Oh, just
on
that?
The property.
Only 100 years. Oh, 99.
I'll be dead.
Oh, yeah. We'll all be dead in 30. Honestly, live as long as you want. 30 years from now, it's all done. So Scissortail Park opened this weekend. I didn't go because I refused to go to a place that should be able to ban guns but doesn't. I refuse to go to a place that will ban everything but guns.
You can't have a laser pointer, but no. You can have a laser sight on a handgun.
For example, I have heard it through the grapevine. I'm not going to out my source, but one volunteer who still had to pay $3 for a bottle of water.
Volunteer your time as a person who paid for the park in the heat all day long, and all you ask for is a drink of water. And they tell you, we have to sell you this for $3.
And we need you to pay cash for it because we can't take credit cards. Here's the thing. This is a company, a private foundation, a company staffed by, at the top, people who make in excess of six figures a year. People who on the board have billions of dollars. Literal billionaires are on the board. Some of whom are some of the like the worst and like least responsible neighbors that we have in our city. Some of the worst people. And we paid for this park. And yet, while they call it a park for everyone, it is not, and it has never intended to be a park for anyone, for everyone. It's a park for someone. It's a public-private partnership, which at its root, private partnerships are corrupt.
They're a lie.
They are a lie. And I would encourage you to investigate. Follow the money on this. Who benefits? Is it us? Is it us? Like, is it you? Listener, is it me that benefits from this? I don't think it is.
And when was the last time the public-private partnerships were audited?
Yes. I'd love to see the Myriad get an audit.
And I think if it's a public-private partnership, that audit should be public record, too.
Absolutely should be. And I'm not saying don't ever go to the park. I'm saying don't ever spend a dollar at that park.
You know what? I'm going to encourage you to do the opposite. I'm going to encourage you to get a membership and use the shit out of those resources.
Oh, okay.
And use those resources to the point where you are receiving your public benefit that you were supposed to receive, and you are getting more for your money than what they should be charging. I'd encourage you to get a membership and rent a boat every day. Just go sit in a boat and read.
How about it? That's interesting. That's a good point, though. How much is the membership?
I don't know the exact figures, but I want to say membership's about $50 for an individual.
Uh-huh. And how much do you think it would cost as not a member to rent a boat 12 times once a month?
12 times once a month. Let's see. I'd guess probably like $20 each time you rented the boat. Yeah. $15. I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
That like this is how well run this public-private partnership is, that $50 for unlimited use and...
Oh, it's garbage.
Over $240, $250 to rent a boat once a month. So, yeah, that's a good point. And so it is with great, great pride and conviction that I announce to you that this podcast is not sponsored by Scissortail Park.
How about it?
Typewriter noises.
And welcome back to the podcast, Oklahoma City SPAN. That stands for Special Programming and Networking. That is Oklahoma City Satellite Public Affairs Network.
That is Spa Noodle. It's like a pool noodle, but fancier.
I don't know if I've ever, speaking of imitating local people, I'm going to do my favorite imitation, which is my friend Tom.
Hi, Tom.
You're going to really like this. You just barely missed meeting Tom yesterday. He was at Plaza Festival, but as was I, as were you. We had a great time. Thank you, Plaza. Thank you, Selena Scorman. I sure do like you. Tom is, he sounds like this. Sounds a little bit like Jeff Foxworthy. Sometimes he'll say something really country and I'll say, if you have ever, to him. But he once said, he said, you know what, chaps my ass. I've worked my ass smooth off. But I know somewhere out there, there's somebody who's a millionaire because he invented the pool noodle. Tom, I love him. He's great. Charming. So went to the Oklahoma County Board of County Commissioners, more like Board of County Commissioners, am I right? JK, I'm never bored of them. Well, one of them I'm never bored of. Two of them I get kind of tired of from time to time. But yeah, it was a lively meeting. We got to hear, this is ongoing. God, I love it so much. I love it. They talked about how to reassure employees of the county jail.
No fucking way.
Of course.
See, I'm pretending to be incredulous, but you just told me.
I already told you that. They talked about how they could encourage and reassure
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you imagine? And what they decided, here, I'm going to read. They did a different item this week. It says, discussion and possible action to engage outside counsel to amend the county retirement and health plans to enable Oklahoma County to provide uninterrupted retirement and health benefits for county jail employees who become employees of the Oklahoma County Criminal Justice Authority.
Well, we didn't talk about this earlier. So what's the new bit? Is it the outside counsel?
It's hiring somebody. Okay, so like the health and retirement benefits are a whole package. And it's actually like the health insurance is self-funded. It's funded by by paying in, all the members are paying in. It's not like through
Blue Cross
Blue Cross Blue Shield or something like that. It's interesting. I want to do a whole story about it. I want to do a deep dive on how that works because I find it fascinating.
That is interesting.
But they yeah, so they're going to hire an attorney that specializes in human resource law. The resource that is a person, the raw material that is a human commodity person, a person who I can get value out of.
Business asset person.
Yes, a person who is an asset to the business of the county or whatever other company. So, the reason the DA's office isn't doing it is because they don't have an expert in human resource law, which kind of surprises me, but it's not too much. So they need to contract somebody to do that. And this isn't that they're now going to do so. This simply gives them the authority to, if they decide, which they probably won't decide to, I got to assume, right? So they voted on that, but they still haven't reassured the employee.
Longest running segment of OKC Span.
Those poor people will never know if they've got their job until the day they get fired by the trust.
I don't feel like doing the whole bit again from earlier, but it was basically, would you trust your boss if after 4 months of begging, they were like, yeah, you can keep your job.
Right.
You'd probably have already quit.
Yeah. You know, thanks for calling me, but you haven't noticed I don't work there anymore.
You couldn't assure me I'd have my job, so I found something else.
So I found something that I could assure myself I had. So similarly, award-nominated musician, trumpeteer nonpareil.
Oh, Louis Armstrong.
Close. County Clerk David B. Hooten.
Oh.
Yeah. Louis B. Hooten.
Louis B. Hooten.
David B. Hooten on that horn of his. Hoot, hoot, hoot.
David B. Hooten his own horn.
I wish you could all have heard him play tabs. It went a little something like this. JK. So he asked for permission to contract private counsel for assistance with his office. His office. So, okay, here's something I really actually like. Shout out, props to David B. Hooten. He came into office and started, he has made Oklahoma County the vanguard of digitizing records for the county clerk. Like I used to work in law office and we did wills and estates, like when you die and they read your will. We did wills and estates and trusts and stuff like that. And all that stuff that I would file with the county clerk, I would have to get like at least 3 copies I would print and I would take them over and get all of them file stamped, and one of them would stay. If I did 3 copies, one of them would stay with the county clerk. One of them would go into our storage at our office, and one of them would go to the client. So if we had a fire and that was destroyed and the other person had a flood and theirs was destroyed, we'd have to go to the county and pull a physical document and make another copy of it or two. And get that file stamped again just to verify, you know, that this is a legit copy of this. Well, what David Hooten has done is he has digitized all of that stuff. But this is new. And he influences state law on this stuff because we're the biggest county, you know. So this is good. But he wants outside counsel because there are legal questions about how it works to digitize stuff. And there's nobody in the DA's office who is an expert on this. I think there should be in the future because this is where everything's moving and should have moved already.
It is 2019 after all.
Oh, you got to digitize your records? Yeah.
It's 2019 after all. Perhaps all important government documents should be
digitized.
Digitized and accessible.
What a crazy idea. But he requested $27,000 to contract services and consulting and legal services from Henry J. Hood, PLLC. So, yeah, that's an attorney. Henry Hood. He's a hood. What do you think about that? Henry J. Hood. Would you hire somebody? Hey, my name is Marty Scam. Howard J. Criminal. Attorney at law. Nice to meet you.
John Robber. Attorney at law.
Barry Crooked. Barry Crooked.
Freddie Fraud.
So anyway, Commissioner Blumert had a lot of questions, beginning with...
Was one of them, is this for county business?
Basically so. She's the best. Here's what she does. One of the things I like so much about the county commissioner who represents me on the commission is that she plays a character called Curious Carrie. She will just like, so I'm new here. Could you just explain this to me? And, you know, she's a beautiful woman, and all of the people who work for the county, like all the department heads, not all of them, but most of them are men. And they're like, well, sure, little lady, because it's county government. They're old fashioned dudes. And they're like, oh, I'd love to explain this to you.
Old fashioned code for sexist.
Yeah, basically. Yes. I heard tale of one specific, I'm not going to say who because I don't have it verified, but of one specific elected official in the county saying that she is not equal to the rest of them. Hmm. Yeah, dope, right? So she's like, shakes her hair out and says, what does this mean? No, she doesn't overplay it like that, but she'll like start asking, help me out. This is new to me. So explain this to me. Why would we do this? Okay. Oh, I see. So, but why then would we do it this way? And then by the end of it, she's just like, well, this sounds like a stupid plan. Why are you wrong about everything? Why are you wanting to milk the public teat? She never has said that ever, but she really goes in on it. And it's one of my favorite things to watch. She does it almost every week, and it's always really good and funny and cool.
What if she ended every long series of questions with, why are you wanting to milk the public teat?
I'd be in favor of it. So purchasing brought one item. Chantel Bosso, director of purchasing, asked to approve a recommendation for a sole source contract for...
Oh, damn. I have to pretend like I don't know. And now I know. What is it, Marty?
Super slurry.
What? What does that do?
This is one thing that I actually knew what it was. Like last time when it was a muffin monster, I didn't know what it was, but I knew what a super slurry is. See, we have to create concrete. We have to make concrete, mix and make concrete. And there are several different kinds of concrete mixtures. And a super slurry is able to mix all of those types. And so it's valuable.
And I presume there is a metal handle on the super slurry that when you pull it, mixes together the two types of concrete into a twist.
Yeah, it's a twist of...
We've got limestone and regular old shale, just kind of...
That's right.
I don't even know if either of those are types of concrete. I could be very wrong.
Anthracite. So we got a recommendation from Central Purchasing also... in answer to an RFP for RMS and JMS for the OSCO.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, all makes sense, all right?
Okay.
Thanks for joining us on OK C-SPAN. No,
a podcast about letters.
the sheriff's office got bids, and we've accepted a bid for a new record management system and a new jail management system. And this sounds like not a big deal, but it is a huge deal. The system we've been using is so old. And in fact, if you come and pay off your jail stay fee, you get a paper receipt written out, handwritten paper receipt.
Like so an stupid. Old-timey diner?
Don't lose it. Whatever you do, don't lose it, because then they could put you in jail and just say that you never paid.
Like, we have the right to refuse service to whoever type of diner.
I'm going to read you some names, because at the end of this meeting, the Board of County Commissioners went into, more like Board of County Commissioners.
Nice.
They went into, thanks, I've been working on that, workshopping that all day today. They went into executive session and they did employee reviews. And let me read you the names. Okay, I'm going to say which departments they were first. Director of Social Services, Director of Emergency Management. He's the guy who prays so Christily. Director of Court Services, and then two co-directors of Information Technology.
Now, pause to listen to how much these sound like gangsters from the 30s in like a Hitchcock film.
That's right. Christy Jernigan Marshall, David Barnes, Grant Billingsley, Dane Coffey, and Rich Stewart.
I was talking to Dane Coffey the other day.
So, if it isn't Dane Coffey, as I live and breathe, you old so-and-so.
Rich Stewart, and what are you doing up to over here in these parts?
I knew sooner or later, like a bad penny, you'd turn up, Grant Billingsley. That's going to be our friend Carrie's favorite part of this podcast. Oh, also, I said she was beautiful. She's also the smartest person working in the county, and I don't want to detract from how tough and smart and cool she is by saying that she's pretty. Like, that's pretty's the least important part of who she is.
Very cool.
But she's real good looking.
It's a good word, Marty. Thank you.
I assume they had a public buildings authority meeting after that, but guess what? I didn't stick around for it because, oh boy, it was like 45 minutes, an hour in, and somebody said there was like 45 more minutes of them doing performance reviews. And I was like, never mind. So now the last meeting I went to this week was at 1:30 p.m. on September 26th, Thursday afternoon, was the meeting of the Oklahoma City Planning Commission.
Wow.
And that meeting lasted for 5 god-danged hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it was some bull. A lot of important stuff got talked about, but I'm going to talk about 3 of those things just because they are the 3 biggest things. One was, so a developer wants a rezoning for 4600 East Wilshire Boulevard. Do you know where that is?
I would presume that it's approximately 4 miles to the east of I-235 on Wilshire.
It's pretty close.
Four to five.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the 4600 block, I would say. Like,
if you could call that a block, yes.
The 4,000 block, really.
That's right. So that is Wilshire and Coltrane.
Oh.
You know Coltrane.
I don't. I've got to be honest, I don't.
Yeah. So this guy wants to rezone that from AA agricultural, which is for farming and it's like to have a farm in a single family home on your farm. That's what that designation, AA agricultural district.
In city limits still.
Oh, yes. We've annexed most of the county and it's out in the hinterlands. It's rural. It's actually upland forest. It's far away. It's 5 from where we sit. It is 6.5-7 miles east of us. And then 3 or 4 miles north of
us. Oh, it's more than that. At Wilshire's, that's like 6 or 7.
Oh, that's like 6. Yeah, you're right. That's about 5 miles north, 5 or 6 miles north.
We're talking closer to Pops out in Arcadia.
It is close to Arcadia.
Close to downtown.
You're absolutely right. It is close to Arcadia. So he wants to build a housing development on half-acre lots on this 32 acres exist right there. He wants half-acre lots. And let me tell you, who doesn't want that? Anybody who lives on the 5-acre spreads all around that area. They don't want it. And I would say it looked to me like a whole lot of white people who didn't want this young black developer to develop a housing addition, perhaps for middle-class black people. But man, there were a lot of protests there. And the traffic count on one of the concerns was the traffic count on Wilshire, which turns out the traffic count on Wilshire is about 1,600 cars a day on that part of Wilshire. And this new addition would create about 400 more cars a day. So that would be 2,000.
25%.
25%, correct. Do you know what kind of traffic count would be needed for the city to actually do anything about that road, apart from minor resurfacing, to actually widen or create a new road?
So we've reached the point in the podcast where we didn't do this part yet. So I genuinely don't know, but I'm gonna put in a guess of probably around 20,000?
7,000. Oh. 7,000. 20,000 would require, though. 7,000 is the bare minimum sort of traffic count needed. And if they had 7,000, city's probably not going to do anything about it. Wilshire's little more than a dirt road out there. But it is upland forest. And so one of the other concerns was what it will do to the character of the land there, because upland forest is sloped. And it's pretty. So they would have to do deep cuts with their bulldozers to make level building pads. And that means they'd also have to cut down a bunch of trees. And people in the area are disappointed in that because they like how it looks out there. And I could see that. I like tree cover. The third thing is that in order to rezone it for right now, it is urban reserve. Like it is reserved for eventual growth of the city. To develop out there, you need certain city services, and for it to be like low density or medium density, you need police and fire service, which they have now. You need
probably utilities, I would assume.
Well, yeah, but
water.
The last thing is sewage, and the sewage doesn't reach out there.
But so you can do septic, right?
They're going to have septic. They're going to have aerobic septic systems for each site, for each house. And this is 150-year-old technology. Like, we've had this for a long time. It works really well. It's like a miniature wastewater treatment facility at each house. And so neighbors are worried about what it'll do to the groundwater and what kind of odor. And it's not going to be odoriferous, because if it was,
we would have built different technology in the last 150 years.
And they wouldn't build a new addition of nice new homes that were going to smell like
shit.
Shit, exactly. So it passed. Now, I will say that the chairperson of that body is Ward 2 Commissioner Janice Powers. And she said at one point, oh, also get this. So the neighborhood, if you will, which I won't because it's not a neighborhood, when your house is on 5 acres and
when you can't throw a rock at the nearest house, it's not, a neighborhood.
Exactly right. So the neighborhood, though, had a meeting that they invited the commissioner from Ward 7, which is where this is, Kamal Pennington. They invited David Box, the attorney representing the applicant, and they invited the applicant, this developer. And none of them were able to come because they were all out of town at the same time. And the neighbors were outraged by that. But like, they never got confirmation, but they still had their meeting so that they could say, we met and they didn't come. But their meeting was at Cracker Barrel. And I'm like, if I'm a young black man, I'm not going to go meet a bunch of angry white people at Cracker Barrel.
At Cracker Barrel.
I mean, for God's sake.
Like, it's called Cracker
it's
Barrel.
It's already called that. Like, I'm going to go there to pick up my new Lee Greenwood CD, maybe. I need a triangle pin game. I might go there for that, but I'm not. I don't go to Cracker Barrel, Nate. I'm a white man. I'm not old enough to go to
Cracker Barrel.
Well, you're never too old for or too young for green bean casserole. Anyway, I just found that little point funny. But Janice Powers said to those assembled, she said, "It's important to us that we hear your point of view and your perspective. And we want you to know that we listen. But I also need you to know that it is not the purview of this body to protect you from change." And I thought that was a good word. And then she proceeded to vote against it. Really surprised me. Like, she didn't vote for the rezoning. It was a 5-2 vote. Ward 1 commissioner and Ward 2 commissioner voted against it. Then we heard about Linwood Place.
Linwood Place.
Oh, my goodness. So this developer, they tore down a house, and there are two lots where the house used to be. The house was apparently a real eyesore. People hated it. And so they tore that house down. The developer wants to replat those two lots, and he wants to build 3 units on it.
Man.
And the neighborhood outraged.
just livid, I would imagine.
They're so mad. They
We do not want more neighbors.
Yeah.
Do you know that's three times the number of casseroles we had to make for this lot before?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I don't entirely get it. There's nuance to it. But I don't really understand why they care so much, except for they own property. And that period, I don't understand. I cannot relate to owning property and being concerned about my property value. But they definitely don't want three new units. And so that conversation went on for 2 hours.
Wow.
2 hours into that conversation. Well, 1 hour and 50 minutes into this conversation. I would say that this group and the group before that I mentioned both hired attorneys. Both of them said, we're not anti-development. And I say for my dollar, anything I'm not against, I'm definitely hiring an attorney to stop the thing from happening. I'm not anti-development.
That's why I've got this attorney right here.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. But
he's anti-development. He's doing the work for me.
He's doing that. I don't have to. But
got ourselves a real ambulance chaser here.
Yeah. he heard there was development. He said, he's like, can I take your case? And I was like, what case? And he goes, trust me. you know what you call a bus full of real estate attorneys driving off a cliff?
Oh, man. Location, location, location.
That's right. Afternoon light. 1 hour and 50 minutes into this process, mercenary real estate attorney David Box, representing the developer, says, my client would be willing to go to two units. And I was like, this motherfucker right here, 2 hours in, I've been sitting up here in this press box by myself, needing to pee, need to go to the bathroom real bad. And he's up here grandstanding. And then out of nowhere, he's like, I mean, we could do two. Like, why don't you start with two? But you know what the other attorney said? Eric Groves, the attorney for the neighborhood. What if we did one and then a garage apartment? like it's an auction. You know, like, we want three, we'll take two. Well, we could give you two, but what if one of those two was only a half? So it's one and a half instead. But they ended up passing it.
What on earth?
It was so...
We wanted three. We will not take two, but we will take one with a garage apartment. Mm-mm.
The other attorney suggested that.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to make that confusing.
Oh, gotcha.
The last thing we talked about, I listened, was this ordinance that David Greenwell and Mark Stonecipher brought to the city council a while back about restricting some of the powers of the Historic Preservation Commission. As far as starting an application to designate a place, a historic preservation district, if fewer than 51% of the owners of that property want that designation, that this ordinance would make it so that only the city council was able to initiate that process, right? Well, whatever.
Wow.
Whatever. It's never been that way. And the city council, as much as I like three of them at least and am okay with a couple of the other ones, they're not experts on history.
For sure.
And I'm not saying that historic preservation is that good. We had a conversation with a local architect.
Really good conversation.
Really good conversation today.
It changed my mind about a lot of it, too.
Yeah. Like, I want it to be person-centered, whatever it is. I appreciate history, and I want us to retain our history and to celebrate and mourn. When appropriate, our history.
As an owner of a historic home and a lover of architecture and history, I genuinely, it was a broadening conversation for me.
It really was for me too. And so now I want to burn everything old down and put new stuff. No, it's not. That's not it either. But a part of why I'm against this, I'll be really honest and transparent. I don't like that dude. And so I think that if I introduced an ordinance, he would vote against it automatically. And if he introduced one, I'd vote against it automatically.
That's just sort of the definition of being someone's arch nemesis.
That's true. And we are nemeses. he and I, whether he knows it or not.
arch nemesis, I would argue.
I can get behind that. But, yeah, so they talked about this at length, heard from, well, and it was great because Rusty LaForge is the name of the at-large representative. That means he's the mayor's appointee. The Ward 8 appointee, Scott Cravens, was really for, let's just vote on this and let's pass it and let's send it with our recommendation to city council. Janice Powers was saying that she doesn't think it's appropriate since just that morning they had gotten an amendment sent to them by email at like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning that same day. And she's like, it's not appropriate for them to ask us to vote on something that's obviously still changing. And I think she's right about that.
That's such a fair point. Like, what's the hurry? It's literally historic preservation. Yeah. It's slow-moving things. Yeah. What's the hurry?
And we are not in any clear and present danger of a lawsuit, a taking lawsuit right now.
Or a loss of something historic in the next, you know, two-week cycle or whatever.
Exactly right. But Cravens was like, all this does is gives them the opportunity to vote on it. And I think we should move it ahead. And he got kind of lost his cool a little bit during it. But
whoa, this isn't Norman. This is exactly. Oklahoma City.
You calm down, man. Norman goes buck ass wild. So Cravens was saying, like, we need to move it ahead regardless. And he said that it should not be in the hands of appointees to potentially take somebody's private property. Like, since they're not elected, that should be up to elected officials. And Rusty LaForge, for argument's sake, said, well, I could push back on that and say that elected officials take campaign donations and we don't. I was like, zing, that's pretty interesting point of view on that. But Rusty had to leave. I say Rusty like I know him personally. Mr. LaForge had to...
Sounds like Star Trek, though.
It does, yeah. Geordi LaForge had to leave.
Geordi had to leave.
And he said to the chairperson, he said, I did not think I would be leaving early from this meeting, but here it is, 6 o'clock, and I have to leave. And he said, do you want to take a vote on this before I leave? He said, because if I leave, you'll still have a quorum, but there will only be 6 people, and... that means that it has to be a unanimous vote for anything to pass. And she said, no, I want to hear citizens who have signed up to speak. So I thought it was very shrewd. And so he said, okay, goodbye. And he left. And we heard from a citizen. And then she called a vote on the amendment. And she voted no. All other 5 voted aye. And she voted nay. And so it did not pass because it wasn't unanimous. And then... the ordinance itself, recommending the ordinance to city council. She voted nay and everybody else voted aye, and so it did not count. And so it will still go to city council, but without recommendation from the commission. It was some sneaky
the politics. Subtlety and just honestly kind of like chess of local politics. It's kind of fun. I know that this can be a dry subject, but it's kind of interesting to hear how it all operates. Mm-hmm. No, I want to hear
watch
from
it play out. And to watch it play out, it was kind of neat. Like,
I want to hear from citizens,
knowing that what that meant was he'll leave, and then I can be the only no vote, and it still won't move.
Like, that's I want to hear from citizens is code for knight to d5.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so it was pretty cool. That meeting was way too damn long. I mean, it really was. 5 hours easily, and that was for a small subcommittee that usually moves through their items in less than an hour.
Wow.
It was dirty. It was funny. A bunch of the people from Linwood had signs printed that said, protect Linwood, no rezone. Like, it's like they paid money
Snappy.
For this. Yeah, no, totally. As we'll all remember chanting, save Linwood. No rezone. Save Linwood. No rezone. Save Linwood and no rezone. Save Linwood. No rezone now.
That sounded like
It sounded like that feedback. That was just because I got some saliva.
It sounded like distortion or something, but it was like your levels were good. That was just a very convincing.
I'm just very good at doing electric guitar.
It's great.
After all of that talk, we're at the end of this here podcast.
Wow. The end of the road.
You. Yeah, you. I love you. I've always admired the look that you have in your eyes when you see me walk into a room. Listener, it's not about you and me. It's about all of us. We're all in it together. If you're in it to win it, if you know that your freedom is bound up with my own, then join me. Nate?
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Well, actually, this is a great time for me to go ahead and just hog the floor for a moment. And so I'm going to do so. I'm going to do so. Okay. So I just want to say to you, listener, that we talk a lot about how your financial support is important to this podcast. And it really and truly is, because there's no giant conglomerate or corporation backing this podcast. Kind of Company is, it's an LLC, but it's literally just that. There's not even a bank account yet. It is a new company. And your financial support literally makes it possible for Marty to do what he does. And in my opinion, some of the most important work that's happening in this city right now. So there's that. But some of you may be in a place where you are not in a place in your life to give financial support to this podcast. And I hear that. And if you genuinely believe that that's where you are, I just want you to know that there are still ways that you can support this podcast. Sending this podcast to 5 friends, helping us grow in listenership, that helps us grow in financial support. Even if you're not able to give money directly, leaving a review, leaving a 5-star rating on the Apple Podcasts app, and leaving a really positive review, that is incredibly helpful to us. And we would love to hear from you about why you like this podcast. I think Marty even gave you a template of something to say last week that was, or I guess really yesterday, that was pretty spot on. So I'm going to ask you right now, as someone who so values the work that Marty is doing on this podcast and with the OKC Span Twitter page as well, please, if you could take 5 minutes out of your week and find a way to support this podcast. I mean, obviously financial support is the most directly impactful, but anything that you can do, wherever you are comfortable, if you can help us grow this podcast, it would be really appreciated, and it would help us to continue doing the important work that Marty is doing.
Well, that's a really encouraging thing to say, Nate. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, listener, for sitting through some of my dumb jokes and my very, very good imitations of local personalities.
Such and as instruments.
Sammy Sosa, and also local guitars. I want to thank you, Nate, for engineering this show. And two times.
Once successfully.
Yeah, right. I want to say, Nate, go fuck yourself for ruining our first take. And I want to thank Kind of Company for hosting me at this studio, which is a home every week. And you, the listener, thank you so much. And please join us again next week, in theory at least, with guest County District 1 County Commissioner Kerry Blumert to discuss county business on now, a deep dive.
Will this podcast be for county business?
It will be about county business. All right. Thank you, and come again. Goodbye.
Hubbub, hubbub. Busy newsroom. Murmurs.
Typewriter noises. You want to hear Hendrix's national anthem?
Yes.
Pretty good, right?
Get that whammy bar in there. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I like it.
Yeah,
wow.
I've been working on that since I was a child. I'm really good at the electric kazoo.
That's better than your trumpet, and your trumpet's spot on.
My trumpet is spot on. It's really more of a mellophone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to offend brass enthusiasts out there.